Amen. God is good. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Let's all stand on our feet and just give a shout of praise to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God is doing a major, I want to use the word shift in this house. Last week, how many of you enjoyed last week? Amen. Praying to the Lord what the Holy Spirit would have me share this morning, and a question came to my mind, because the last two messages I preached was one, go beyond. And the last one we preached was the power of praise. And I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he says, many people have a question on how to activate that in their life. How do I consistently every day walk a life of praise? How do I consistently go beyond who I am? How do I consistently get beyond me? How many of you know that the enemy is not the worst enemy in your life? The you is the worst enemy in your life. And God wants us to change. How many believers really know how to prepare themselves to meet with the Lord? How many believers really on a consistent basis? And I'm not talking, I want to make this emphasis on this. I'm not talking about Sunday morning here. Sunday morning is a gathering place to edify and be taught and to learn. But a Christian walk is what I'm talking about. A life of praise is Monday morning when you get up and go to work. Can I hear an amen on that? So many believers really, how many of they know how to prepare themselves to meet with the Lord? How to experience the Lord? How do we do this on a continual basis? Oh, I'm excited Sunday morning, but darn it, tomorrow morning I got to get up and go face that boss of mine, or I got to go home and face my family, or I got to. How many of us consistently can get beyond us to experience God? How many of us can prepare ourselves to flow in the power of God like we did Sunday? Somebody had to lose their flesh last Sunday. My wife was concerned. I'm many years old. And she saw me jumping around, twirling around, and she said, oh my God, what's going to happen later today? I haven't done that in a long time. Isn't it good? Many believers, I asked the Lord, do they know how to prepare to be an instrument in God's hands? Not on Sunday morning to prophesy, but on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, when someone is in need. And Holy Spirit says, give him life. And you're too hung up on yourself and your crazy problems to hear Holy Ghost to say, give him life. And little did we know that I've taken a moment to give you life, God would have solved my problem. Can I hear an amen on that? I don't know if I'm going to preach today, or I'm going to share today, or what's going to happen. We're just going to do some stuff here. You see, we need to be ready to be activated in spiritual praise and worship 24/7. The divinic worship of David was 24/7. It was not Sunday morning 2 hours. We need to be able to worship God every single day in our life, in every circumstance, no matter what I'm facing. You should never lose your praise. Never lose a song in your heart. Never go a day without glorifying the King Jesus who saved our souls. Or to be activated in effective prayer. How much of our prayer is based on us and what I got to have God do for me, instead of saying, God, what would you have me be for you? Receiving God's prayer, both in the written prayer, voice, the word, receiving God's word, both in written and vocal. How do we prepare every day? Am I prepared going to work in the midst of traffic? And this would be a problem because I hate traffic. In the midst of turmoil, to hear the voice of God says, I love you, Or possibly the voice of God says, I have an assignment for you when you get to work. Your boss needs for you to go in and just be kind to him or her. Just be kind. You don't have to be overly spiritual. Just be me, Jesus, and show compassion and love and kindness. See, this is what God's after. This is what this church is being paradigm shift into. No, you're not going to be like anybody else, because God didn't make you like anybody else. Last week, the Lord prophesied 3 months. He wants you to be attentive to him for 3 months. And many, many people, we've talked about it, well, let's get us through this summer doldrum that everybody goes through in New England. That's a fleshly mindset. Because God wants you to be attentive to him for the next 3 months, because it takes 3 months for you to lose your silly habits and gain some new ones. See, it takes that amount of time for you to change a habit. If I have a habit of not praying, then the next 90 days, I'm going to get myself every morning, even if it's, hey, Jesus, how you doing? I'm going to pray every single day. And if you do that every single day, when the 3 months are up, you will be praying every single day. You won't have to work at it anymore. That's why God says do this for the next 3 months. Not to get you through the summer. God, get us through the summer. We got to lose that. That's a mindset. Can I hear an amen on that? When one considers and contemplates their life journey, it is imperative that you have a proper understanding of the importance of a healthy, properly directed mindset. I've titled this Mindset and the Focus of Your Thoughts. You see, every single morning it is imperative that you have a healthy mindset, that you have a healthy thought life, and that your thought life, amen, will not drive you into stuff that you're not supposed to be. You see, God wants us to direct our thought life to him. The first place that has to be to bear fruit is to bring our thoughts and our being to him. How many of you know that you are the sum total of your thoughts? You are the sum total of your thoughts. If you're a spiritual man, your thoughts are spiritual. If you struggle with the flesh and the worldly culture every single day, then your thoughts are producing a life of flesh. Matthew 22:37-39, New King James says this, and I emphasize this, is that Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God, amen, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to say to you is that, you see, the Lord does not say love you with his physical body. You see, your heart and your mind and your soul are not physical, they're spiritual. You see, Lord is looking for us to go beyond what we are physically. The mind of Christ is not your brain between your two ears. That is a muscle. It pumps and does. It's nothing else but a muscle. What drives you is your mind, which is infinite, because your mind will be forever, because your soul is saved from glory to glory. And when you leave this earthly body, the spiritual man and your soul leave. Life forevermore. So you see, we've got to stop focusing on the temporary thing of our physical and understanding that our spiritual and our mind is preparing us for eternity, but God wants you to exercise eternity here now. That's why he says, I want you to love me with all your heart. I want you to love me with all of your soul. And he didn't leave the mind out. See, the soul is made up of spirit, soul, and body. And I wish I could get in, but I don't have time. But you see, the Lord not only emphasized the soul, but then he pulled out the mind out of that thing, is because it's your mind that's going to determine whether you serve God or you don't serve God. One's mindset is determined, will determine. I want you to hear me now, because the way you think will do this. Your mindset is what you do. It's when you come in here Sunday mornings, your mindset determines. I guarantee you, Pastor Mark, last Sunday, I think there was a lot of mindset is that we need God. I said, we're going to lose ourselves in Holy Spirit. We didn't have a lot of people poking, looking, and see if we were doing it right. We just lost ourselves in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, flesh didn't control anymore. Attitude didn't control anymore. Spirit controlled. Can you hear an amen on that? So one's mindset will determine the direction, quality, and victory and outcome of your journey. If you want your journey to be spiritual, you're going to need to walk a spiritual life. Amen? Now, let me say something to you because you say, well, that means I won't be able to function in the world because how can I be spiritual and do my job? That's because you're using what's between your ears, which is a muscle, instead of what God gave you and breathed life into you, is your mind. That transcends everything. And so how do I operate? You are in this world, but you are not of this world. Most of the church has not got this yet. When you go to work Monday morning, go with the spiritual mind of Christ with all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Oh, I don't know if I can do my job. You have wisdom, knowledge, understanding of Christ flowing through you by Holy Spirit. There is literally in your job nothing you can't do better than you're doing in your flesh. Because God's after something. God's after a church that will be spiritual and stop struggling with the physical. We're all concerned, and we should be concerned. Chris and I were talking yesterday. We were all concerned. The Lord God in me, I got to get my body in shape. I got to be because how my body and my temple is determines my discipline and my spirit. Amen? But I want you to understand this, and I want you to talk a little bit about the mind. The mind denotes a faculty of knowing. It's a seed of understanding. How many of you have seen a situation where you walk into and, Jesus, I just don't understand this. How can this happen? We have people in this country, a lot of us talking about that now. I don't understand that. How could this happen to America? How can this happen? How can we lose our country? Because our country turned their back on God. The answer is easy. Are you with me? Okay, so we need to understand. So it determines it's a faculty of understanding. Holy Spirit brings his spirit upon you, and he brings the spirit of understanding upon you. So everything, even in your work, you will do better every single day because you have a mind that the understanding of Christ. It also is a reflective consciousness. It's a seed for where Holy Spirit convicts you. And so the Lord is after this in this church. There's not only a change in the atmosphere, there's not only a change in high praise, there's not only a change in ministering the word, but now there's a change in the ingredients of every believer walking in this room with a mindset, today I've come to meet with God, not me. Every day I get up, I say, I'm getting up, God. I'm not getting up. I'm not having a spirituality that I think I ought to have. And I'm not going to judge your spirituality by what I think you ought to have. Because if I'm concerned with my spirituality, what God's doing with me, I'm not worried about you. I'll just pray for you. Is that good? You see, I'm talking about a journey that you will have a consciousness of Christ, that you will have compassion instead of judgment, that you'll have a helping hand instead of a hand of rejection. God's after something in the church, and it all starts with how you see yourself and how you act and how you think. The process of thought and perception, I want you to hear me now, which activates your reason, your judgment, and your determination. So if you have no energy to get up and do something during the daytime, stop blaming everybody else and stop blaming the devil and say, wow, I have no determination to accomplish anything, so my mindset must be off kilter to what God wants me to be because God always wants me to be productive. Now, I'm saying this to you because, you see, what we have in our spirit and our mind governs our journey. Well, God's going to change this. Yes, he is. God's going to do it. We can't build this church. We've proved that, right, Pastor Mark? Okay? But we can also hinder God from building it by being fleshly when we're supposed to be spiritual. I want to see miracles. How many of you want to see miracles on a daily basis? How many of you open on a daily basis for God to do a miracle in your life? So you see, this is what the Lord's after. A person's mind is one, I want you to hear this because this is very, very important, because when you got saved, you did not lose your mind. I want you to hear me now, because we got so many messed up Christians, born again, spirit filled. Amen? You all right, brother? Here. Born again, spirit filled Christians, so messed up. Because we think that now I'm with Jesus, it's all up to him. And we don't know the understanding that God wants us to start bringing our spirits and our souls and our minds central part inside of him. Amen? It's really, really important for you to understand this. See, our mindset will determine the direction, the victory, and the outcome of your journey. A person's mind is one of the most powerful forces in the human soul and body. With the emotions and the will coupled with your mind, it will condition your heart. You see, your heart condition has more to do with what you want to have happen in God than what God wants. Can I hear an amen on that? This is really, really important for you to get this. Because even if I take time, because I want you to understand how powerful your mind is. Or is it more powerful than Jesus? Of course not. But the problem is, when you became a Christian, and much of the church has taught this, you lose your mental capacity. You cannot be an individual. You've got to be woe, down, meek. Okay, well, in Christ, I am none of that. Outside of Christ, I am weak, and I'm poor, and I'm all that stuff. But you see, if you're saved, and you're in Christ, and you now have the mind of Christ, you're no longer weak, poor, or messed up. Why are we so messed up then? Because we've been taught for centuries that you're messed up. And we've not yet separated what God says about us. Give you a quick example and then move on. If I have the power of my mind, then the power of my mind is at my disposal to do everything God wants me to do and to reject the flesh. If I wrestle with that, then like the power that the Holy Spirit has given my mind is working against me, not for me. Am I losing you? See, a person's mind is the most powerful force. You've got to understand this. When you got saved, your mind did not get weakened. Hear me. You still have the same mind Adam had, it just was lost and degenerated and fell into sin. And when you got saved, God brought in, he did what? He gave you a new spirit, a new heart, and he breathed life into you, giving you the mind of Christ. And so we do not have to be pulled down to the world's attention. We don't have to follow all, and you're right, there's more books about building churches than there are churches. And I read a lot of them. And I found out as soon as I stopped putting my hand to the plow of all the principles of church building and raised my hands to Jesus, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost started moving. You got to hear this now. Because God wants you to start having a mental capacity. Now listen to me now, to fulfill his will and to walk away from your will. I can't do that. You're right. As soon as you get a hold of Jesus, this becomes automatically possible. And I'm going to give you something. I woke up this morning, And I hope I don't offend anybody, but I'm going to say it anyways. Because here's what I said to the Lord. I'm going over this message, and here's what the Lord said to me. He says, they're going to tell you, you don't understand the circumstance. So I can't, my mental, I just, you know, as soon as I get out of my circumstance, I'll be able to think straight. Anybody been there? Come on. You don't understand what I'm living. You don't understand it. You don't understand that. And you know what the Lord said to me? Wow. He says, you know what the answer to that is? Is that, for example, if you were to say, you don't understand my circumstance, right? Well, I think you did say that a long time ago. Okay. Here's what the Lord said. Are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. He says, no, that person doesn't understand their circumstance. So if you don't understand your circumstance, so you say to me as pastor, like, here, do this and this, you don't understand my circumstance. I've tried that 5,000 times. It just doesn't work. The Lord says, no, you don't understand the circumstance you're in. Don't put that on me that I don't understand your circumstance. You don't understand it, and that's why you're still in it. Come on, church. Let's give a praise, amen. Oh, there's a prophetic fire coming out. You can have me happy. Amen. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Come on. If I think I'm victorious, guess what? I'm victorious. If I think I'm a failure, I will work my life out to fulfill my prophecy of failing in my life. The only difference is I'll be looking for someone else to blame for it instead of... You see, this church will go where God wants it to go because we need a mindset change. We need to stop looking at empty chairs and start looking at Jesus. We need to stop declaring, oh, it's hard in New England, and start declaring God's victorious in New England. It's hard to say, hey, man, you got to start understanding something. We as a church body need to change the way we think. I come to church every day to give. And if I get something out of it, it's a blessing. But I didn't come here to get anything, Pastor Mark. I come here to give and be trained and hear the word of the Lord and be obedient and not forsake the assemblies of the brethren. Mindset. It's an exercise or activation of your faculties, your perceptions, your thoughts of the mind. That's what a mindset is. It's the activation of your faculties, your perceptions, your thought life. It's an activation of that in order to set, let's say set, establish and fix one's attention on something or someone, amen, which will cause clarity of focus and direction in life. So what a mindset is I'm going to take all my faculties, my mental power, my thought, everything that's in my mind, and I'm going to set it on something of value. Are you with me? So I have a problem this morning. I get up and have a problem this morning. I have a choice. Am I going to set my mental faculties? Am I going to set my thought life? Am I going to set what I am in my head? Am I going to set it on my problem and set it there so I'll think about it until I manifest it so big I can't get out of it? Or am I going to say, problem in the name of Jesus, I'm a son of God, and I am going to set my mind on the living God. If I need healing, healing is called Jesus. If I need deliverance, Jesus, amen. If I need a move of His Spirit, then the move of His Spirit is called Jesus. Jesus is the answer, but we've got to start thinking this, church. When I'm in the pit, don't look at the pit. Don't even look at the mud. Look up from whence your help is coming from. Scripture instructs each believer in Jesus Christ we quote this all the time. It's just you know what it is, Pastor Mark. It's this is awful to say, but many scriptures we quote are just words. They're sayings. They're the same as Confucius says. Same thing. But we don't have an understanding mentally, spiritually, physically what the scripture says, and it says this. Colossians 3:2. This says, the scripture instructs each believer of Jesus Christ, set your mind, your faculties, your perceptions, your thought life. Amen? Set it. Orientate it. Fix it. Okay, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. What is God saying to us? Is that we are controlled by the physical of the earth. We are controlled by our circumstances. We are controlled by our fleshly opinions. We're controlled. And God says, no, if you have turned your focus on the things above, I will not see the mistakes in his life. I will see the quality of what God can make him. Sat in the wrong places. Yeah, picking on you. And so I want us to get something here. See, many believers are searching for a life full of love. How many of you want love? Full of joy, full of peace. Many believers are searching for just, can I just have one victory? Just one God. If you could just give me one victory, one healing, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. That's why we have people healed. Healed. And 2 weeks later, they're not even in church or serving God. Are you with me? So many believers are searching for these things and searching for all this stuff and searching for victory. And I believe believers have a desire to know God and his will and the purpose of life. I believe they really want that, Pastor Mark. They want a life of Galatians 5, where all the fruit of the Spirit and one lives and walks in the Spirit and experiences all the fruit of the wonderful Holy Spirit. I think that's what we all want. And the question is that that's what's been given to all of us at any time. We don't have to want it. We just have to embrace it. But what happens here? See, however, we all want this, but what happens here? Believers are confronted daily with internal conflict. Condemnation. How many of you ever felt condemnation in your life? Are you with me? By the way, the Bible says, I don't know if I got this right or not, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus and called according. If you're in the Spirit, you cannot be condemned. Ah, you can be convicted. But that's life. Condemnation is death. Are you with me? Believers confront daily with internal conflict, with condemnation, with volatility. One day I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, the next day I don't even know if I'm saved. Hello. Instability. And lust of the flesh, as well as a sincere desire to worship God. It's like a conflict inside of us. And again, Galatians 5 lifestyle describes this kind of person. One who lives in the flesh and is carnally minded and walks according to the works of the flesh. So if I walk around with a critical spirit in me, looking for everything wrong in someone's life, then am I walking according to Galatians 5, the first part, or Galatians 5, the second part? Am I walking in the Spirit, or am I walking manifesting the works of the flesh? If I have a critical spirit towards someone and no grace of mercy, I am walking. I'm sorry, church. I'm here. I'm blessing you, but you are of the flesh. Oh, it means if I'm in the spirit, I can't criticize them. I'm not saying that at all. But there's a proper way to doing it, and if it's done with Holy Spirit, it brings life, not condemnation. Can anybody say amen to me, or are we all doing all right? Romans 8:5 says this, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And that's an equation we have to do. I probably won't get through this whole message, but I will close it with a question for you. But the whole point is that if we are dealing with the flesh and the world and negativity and depression, beloved, you are dealing with flesh. If you can't get up and do your job and have a praise in your lips, okay, in the morning time, I'm not saying you're not going to go through rough times. I mean, I'm just, you know, years old. Like, how old did you say? You're an old man. How old are you then? Actually, I'm older than Arthur. So you see, the point I'm trying to say is that if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to deal with death, destruction, negativeness, depression. I could go through the whole litany of it. But if you're on the Spirit, you'll be doing a victory in life and joy and the things of the Spirit. Can I hear an amen on that? So the answer is to develop a spiritual mindset that is focused on God and His kingdom. Not just God, and His kingdom. Are you with me? Hallelujah. God wants us to understand some things here. Every believer must choose their mindset. Every believer must choose the mindset of the Spirit, which is life, peace, or carnality, which is spiritual death and enmity towards God. And I have, in many years of walk with the Lord, I've learned to understand if I feel separated from God, I am not in the Spirit. My wife and I have this thing. We've been married 55 years, and sometimes we reach the end of it. But when we have intense fellowship, as soon as we start seeing the flesh and emotion take over the conversation, we both of us stop it. We'll even stop the conversation, go away and get in the Spirit and come back and discuss the things in a spiritual manner, not in a fleshly, emotional manner where I end up doing over her or she's over me. I destroy her, she destroys me, put thoughts in our spirits that we have to deal with for years or days, whatever. And so this is very important for everyday single life, my beloved. Amen. I don't know if I remember if I read that scripture or not, but let me read it. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, "For the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God or word of God, or indeed can be." And so one of the areas that you must understand that if you are in a carnal mindset in your everyday life, you will not be able to understand how God's word helps you. Are you with me? Okay. Now I want to get into this part because this is good. Help me, Jesus. Every believer, say every believer. This is good. Yeah, I like it. Must choose their own mindset. Amen. But those who attempt to set their mind on both the Spirit and the flesh will be cast into conflict condemnation, confusion, and constant battle between the spirit and the soul. I know this scripture deals with mammon, but the principle is the same. You cannot serve two masters, for you will learn to love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve flesh and spirit and combine them. Well, if I mix a little bit of world, God will understand. If I mix this and I mix that, God will understand. If I take this of the world, and it really isn't hurting anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody. If I do this for a pleasure, it really doesn't hurt anybody. In fact, most people wouldn't even know I did it. Except that's a very carnal mind. Because God knows all things. God knows you every thought. In fact, the scary part is, which made me very sober in my walk with the Lord, is that I found out that God records every thought. Sum total of the thoughts that I am as a man. And so God records the thoughts. And so our thoughts are extremely, extremely important. And so there's a battle going on. And if you talk to most Christians, I'm going on a limb and I'm going to say most Christians, there's a battle going on in their life. What I do in the world and what I do for God, there's a battle going on. It's a constant fight between flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. Spirit rises Sunday morning, flesh battles Sunday afternoon. I have a good Monday morning prayer, flesh is waiting for you in the office. There's a constant battle. And until you set your mind on the things above, the war will never stop. Is that all right? Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." New American Standard. "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit." Wow. I have no prayer life. The flesh sets desires against the Spirit. I fall asleep when I read the Word. Anybody ever heard that? Flesh is warring against the Spirit. I can't come to church because someone made me mad. Flesh warring against the Spirit. There's a constant warfare. And that's why the Bible says that we have to set our minds on the things above. What does that mean? It means to have a heavenly mindset, church. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that they may not do the things," I'm sorry, "that you may not do the things that you please." And so I want us to understand something. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to be able to get just to a certain section. But my point I don't need for us to get is that in order to have a life of praise, you've got to set your mind on spiritual things and determine and make your mind up, "I will praise the Lord in all things." Amen? It's very, very important. Here's the other thing is that how many of you want to walk with God? How many of you sometimes, you don't have to raise your hand on this part, struggle walking with God? Okay, there's a battle inside of us. There's a battle inside of a battle. The battle inside of us. It's a war. It's constant. It never stops. And so I go to Amos 3:3 and Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" I finally got light bulb went on, Pastor Mark. Oh. How can I walk with God if I don't agree with Him? That's sin. Well, no. No, in today's world, it really isn't sin, Lord. No. You know, that's of the old time. You know, it's acceptable today. Facebook has made a lot of things acceptable that God has a... Well, I won't go down that road. Yes, I will. Because Facebook exposes the inner being of your mindset. Because I can look on Facebook, I travel, we go to different churches, okay, would never be anybody here. And I see them in churches, the most righteous things, and I read their Facebook posts, and it is diabolically different, opposed to what I saw Sunday morning, them all excited and praising God, oh, Pastor, you're just the greatest thing since life. Well, yeah. It exposes mindset, and God's saying, church, I need you to get your head out of the flesh and start thinking about heavenly things. Are you all right? Okay, for a believer, the condition of focus of their mindset will determine whether one has spiritual life or death. Now listen to me, please, because I'm going to have to wrap this up. Spiritual life or death. Your mindset determines that. If you feel dead today, you got the wrong mindset. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your children. Don't look at the devil. By the way, anybody understand the greatest weapon of Satan? Oh, because he can't do a thing to you. No. Without God's permission, the devil can't do a thing to you. The only thing he can do to you is put a thought in your mind that's contrary to the word of God, and then set the circumstances up that you will set your mind on that lie. That is the only weapon Satan has, is he messes with our thinking. And he gets you to think. Anybody ever said you'll never amount to anything? Anybody ever said any of that to you? Anybody ever said anything? Oh, you're wrong, or you're not spiritual, or any of those things? Hey, we don't know. We just laugh them off. Sticks and stones will break my bones. That's what we grew up with. But names will never hurt me. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. Names destroy you. Because it's logged where? Sticks and bones of flesh. Names get into the spirit and soul and take root. And then you deal with it the rest of your life. And guess what? The one person that you don't like or don't want to be around ends up ruling you for the rest of your life. Are we all right? This is pretty good. This is a little something between pastors, but I guess everybody. But in our lives as pastors, people say things that they just say things. I have no basis for it. It's just their opinion. Probably out of their, well, anyways. And they say things, and all of a sudden that root gets in. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, so I'll talk to someone else. That root gets in your mind. Come on now. And the more you try to dig that puppy out of your mind, the more rooted it becomes in you. You don't know what I'm talking about. No. Now, you got to hear me now. Here's what the Lord said to me. He says, you're focusing on what that person said to you. And so what have I said to you? I said you're my son. They said you're a loser. I don't have any losers as sons. So who are you going to focus on? What the person said? Now, here's the kicker. I know that none of you would ever understand this. Is that here's what the Lord said to me. He says, and why you're down in the dumps trying to dig this out of your soul, what someone put in you that had no business putting it in you, they're off having a joyful life, and they haven't even got you ahead. They're not even thinking about you. They're enjoying life. And it left you with a problem in your mind because they planted it there, not knowing the power of the soul. You see, we cripple people because we don't know what I'm talking about. You have the power of the soul. If I know the power of the soul, I can cripple you, brother, and you not even know it. And God said, no, 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 that's stopping in my church. You see, what God wants here is a church with heart after God, where we bring life, total worship, praise and honor. Can I hear an amen on that? So let me go on. I gotta wrap this up. So believers, for a believer, the condition of the soul, it will determine your spiritual life or death. It will determine internal peace or conflict. The condition of your soul will determine whether you have peace or conflict. Well, I have conflict. Well, then maybe we stop looking around and say, Lord, I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to praise you. Power of praise. That's right. Pastor preached power of praise, power of praise, power of praise. Amen? And all of a sudden, in the midst of my conflict, I start lifting up the name of Jesus. And conflict no longer has any power. Why? Because I'm replacing what the devil meant for evil with what God meant for good, and that's a praise unto his name. Can I say amen on that? Okay, the condition of focus of your mindset determines your stability or your instability. Listen to me now. This is the, if I don't get any further, I got to share this with you, because if you're unstable, your mindset's unstable. Okay, I have so much financial problems, Lord. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of it. Oh, it got quiet here all of a sudden. Whoa. It's because you're trying to figure it out in the flesh. I don't have time to go on testimony. Someday, I think we ought to give some of our testimony, my dear. Because we were out of our home. We had lost everything. We had buku thousands of dollars in debt. Debt. No place to go. No place to live. And God said, give me a praise. And we gave him a praise. And here we are today. In fact, I went to buy a car. They gave me a job, and I went to buy a car. And I told the finance manager, I said, you know, we're going to have a problem getting this puppy financed. Because the last 3 years has been catastrophe financially for me. I mean, I'm talking beyond catastrophe. But we managed to hear God and did what he told us to do every day. Instead, if we had a bill, instead of sending nothing, we sent $5. Just to show good faith. Is that correct, babe? So anyways, the guy called me in the office after my financial report, and he said, you're all approved. I said, what? He says, your loan's approved. I said, well, praise God. He was a Christian. He said, but the funny part is it doesn't match up with what you said to me. I said, what are you talking about? He says, your credit report does not show one late payment. Why? Because we lifted and gave it to God and trusted him. Now listen to me, and did what he told us to do. I worked my butt off, excuse the expression. I was gone hours. I wasn't sitting around waiting for God to give me something. But I did what he told us to do. And he comes in. Why? Because the mindset is to praise the Lord and serve him at all costs. And Lord, if I got to serve you in my poverty, I'm going to praise you. If I'm going to serve you in my riches, I'm going to praise you. If I'm going to serve you, I have no place to live, I'm going to give you a praise. Oh, by the way, not only did we not have a place to live, he put us in a home with real Persian rugs and all that for 1 year. Just put us there. Just boom. It was amazing. It was amazing. And so you got to understand what God wants us to be. Stability and instability is in your mind. You either trust God or you don't. Are you with me? It's your focus and the condition of your mindset is a spiritual life pleasing to God. Is it a spiritual life pleasing to God? Or is it a fleshly lifestyle which separates us from God. Don't ever, I mean, we've had our opportunities, church. I gotta wrap this up. We have our opportunities, my wife and I, to put our fist in God's face. Because I moved somewhere where he told me to move. He told me to move to Charlottesville, Virginia. He told me. I didn't even know where it was. And when we got down there, we lost everything we owned. Not once did we go like this to God. But the question is, which every one of our questions should be, what are you after, God? And how do we correct this situation? Are you with me, church? Because you see, out of that whole circumstance, the whole circumstance, which was pretty dire, a change in spirit in this man's preaching to you set this man up in the kingdom so dependent on God that he said, now I got you. And the reason we're standing here today after 40 some odd years of serving the Lord, much of it in the ministry, is one thing only. Our God is faithful. And so if you're at a place today where you're tempted to hold your fist to God, or your expectations, let me say this to you, because Jesus help me. If your expectations of this church are not being fulfilled, maybe you need to get a hold of God and find out what God has for this church and stop fighting the church. Stop fighting the people in the church and become part of the solution. Is that tough? Because it's what God wants. Hallelujah. I don't have time to finish, but I just want to, because it's hours getting late. But I just want every believer to understand, if you're not firmly established in a heavenly and spiritual mindset, if you're not heavenly set, you open yourself up to be tossed to and fro, taken away with every wind of doctrine, brought into the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of the enemy, Ephesians 4:14. If your mindset is not set on God, if your mindset is not set on God and it's tossed between God and the flesh, then I want to just say the word to you. You're a double-minded person. And unstable in all your ways. Amen? I'll close with this. And if you want, I can sit down and talk to you this time and go over all the rest of it. But you will change this by having your mind renewed. By the renewing of your mind, you've got to understand, ask God to renew your mind. Not your brain, your mind, and your spirit. And that takes hard work. God's got to change your thinking. Are you with me? Ephesians 4:21-24. I don't have time to go into that. Renew the spirit of your mind. Understand that your mind is not something physical, it's spirit. And it's that spirit that's the seed Holy Spirit sits on to change your life. If my mindset is on Jesus, on heaven, and on Holy Spirit, then he is sitting on the spirit of my mind affecting me. And the last 2 points is gird up the loins of your mind, which I love the way American Standard puts it. It says, prepare your minds for action. Amen? Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on grace to be brought to you. Amen? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. And certainly, last but not least, amen? Understand that you have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Jesus demonstrated it when he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. The mind of Christ simply is this. It's the views, feelings, and temperament of Jesus manifested within your heart and your spirit. We are influenced by the Spirit and driven by the Spirit. So I leave you with this. For the Scripture presents the believer with a constant contrast. Scripture presents the believer with a constant contrast between devoted to God with a life in the Spirit, or those devoted to the world with a life in the flesh. I love it. One of my favorite characters, I wonder why, the prophet Elijah asked on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18:21. He asked the people, he says, how long will you be tossed between two opinions? How long? That's what he is asking the people then. And as I was doing this, doing my blog and this message, Holy Spirit said to me, that question that Elijah asked God's people is very applicable today. And so I leave this with you. How long will you be tossed between the faults with the flesh and the spirit, and the spirit and the flesh? How long? How long will you have a fleshly mindset or a spiritual mindset? How long? How long are you going to toss between the two? And it's nothing to be scared of. When you get in the Spirit, trust Holy Spirit. Let's all stand at our feet. Trust Holy Spirit. Understand that God wants us to have the mind of Christ. And as we go through our day-by-day life, I want us to know that with the right mindset, you can go beyond anything you are. You can become anything you want to become if you believe that you can do it. Amen? And with the right mindset, you can break the power of every darkness in your life through the power of praise.
Amen. Amen, church. I saw, just share this with you quickly, and we'll close and release you for the week. But Bob Sorge, many of you know who Bob Sorge is. If you don't know who Bob Sorge, you should look Bob Sorge up. But he said this just the other day. He said that he cannot find a single person in the Bible that God chose whom he did not crush. But every man that God crushed, he also redeemed. Amen. So if you're going through some crushing right now, if you're going through a season where you feel like God is stripping you down, just stay the course. Get your mindset right. Look at it from God's perspective, not from ours. Because from us, we think, where are you? You know, where are you, God? What are you doing? But God says, I know exactly what I'm doing. He says, I'm crushing you so that I can bring you back the way I want you to be. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We ask that you'd bless every heart, every home, every marriage, every single person, every young person, every middle age, every old person here in this place, God. Let our hearts continue to shift by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week.